science, learning, business, community, you. Welcome to Think Works, the podcast for people who like to think. Because thinking is the hardest work there is. Come with us on a journey into the world of ideas with your host, Darren Smithson.
Hello and welcome to another episode of ThinkWorks, the place where we like to do all the heavy lifting when it comes to thinking. And this week we're going to tackle the topic of choosing progress over perfection. So, and I've got in the studio with me my old mucker again, once again, Mr. Stephen Lowe. Hello, Stephen.
Hey, Darren. Hello, everybody.
And as we said, what we're going to do is, one of the things that we're very keen on in this podcast is not making people who want to be perfect wrong. All we're saying is there's an elegant way that people who are perfectionists can adapt to maybe looking at the whole process of how they go about things a little bit differently. I think that's right to say.
I think it's right, and I think anybody who's listening to this who want to be a perfectionist, there's nothing wrong with that. This is not a perfectionist bashing session.
No.
This is just to say, look, you know, how could you change your approach sometimes to maybe make more progress rather than getting bogged down with trying to be a perfectionist.
And we also understand why you want to be a perfectionist as well, because the way that modern business life in particular seems to be organised these days, it's people are afraid to make mistakes because they're afraid of getting punished. And it's not your fault that is the prevailing culture. It's the way management, I think, is set up with unrealistic expectations.
I would agree. But I think it's also as well, there's that fear of failure. We'll go on into that a bit more later on. But it is okay to fail.
It is.
Absolutely. You can't be perfect every day, but you can make progress every day.
So I think you're right, Stephen. I mean, I think the whole idea about really choosing progress over perfection is what we want to really tackle in this. But just going back to what you're saying about, you know, don't be afraid to fail, that you have to change your mindset. So failure, getting something wrong, isn't actually a disaster. It's a lesson. If you change your interpretation of the word failure to meaning it's a lesson learned, then you're more willing, I think, to keep taking decisions and making decisions even if you do get some of them wrong.
Exactly. I mean, we're all human, we all make mistakes, okay? But the thing is to learn by it, and it's also defining, well, what do you say is success? I'll give you an example. I used to be a sprint runner when I was a young, slimmer version of myself, and I've never made it to district finals.
Yeah.
Okay, but I kept trying and trying and trying, and I was going to give up because I couldn't get there. I did get there, got to the finals, I came second, I won a silver, right?
Yeah.
That, to me, was success.
Yeah.
Wasn't perfect, because I didn't win it, I didn't break any records.
Yeah.
But that was about actually just keep going, can't be perfect all the time, but you had success, and then I made progress.
Yes, and in fact, that reminds me of the story of the guy that holds the record for the most marathons run in a month, and he started off, he didn't go, right, I'm going to run a marathon today, and set off and run a marathon. He actually set off, he'd never done any long distance running before, and he literally ran from his gate to the first lamppost, and then the next day he ran to the lamppost beyond it, and then, and so on, until he built up the endurance levels that he had then to go and tackle this record of running, so I can't remember what the record is, but you can look it up, but basically the most marathons in a month. I mean, the thought of that absolutely exhausts me just thinking about it, but that's what he did.
Yeah, and the thing is, though, he may have failed the first time he tried.
Yeah.
He may have not run the marathon, he may have only done part of it, you know, get exhausted and stuff like that. But then you get going, and I always think you strive for perfection, or some people do.
Yeah.
It's never attainable.
Yeah.
There's always something else that perfectionist wants to, I'll just do this and I'll just do that. And by that then, you're going to become stagnated.
Yeah.
And you're going to get bogged down, and then you're going to get yourself all upset and frustrated, which is not a healthy thing to be.
Exactly. Oh, and we'll just check that, which it hasn't stopped working. No, it's still working. Yay. I should explain, listener, that Steve and I both talk with our hands. So, again, we could cut this bit out, but you know what? I think we'll leave it in because it's a lesson about
not that, being perfect.
Exactly, and just keep the thing progressing, and we'll chew the fat as we always do, and eventually we'll come out with something that sounds like we know what we're talking about.
Exactly.
So, I mean, the whole point of this is really to try and get people to understand that progress is what's important. The reason why so many people feel stress when they're working on something is because they're trying to make what they're doing perfect, but there's a time limit. So then you start to push up against the time limit for getting something done, especially in a business context. Mm-hmm. And suddenly it's like the deadline's here and I've only done 3 words of this 1,000 word essay.
That reminds me of an example. In my industry, I was working in IT, and I used to manage groups of software developers and consultants. And these guys are clever.
Yeah.
They've got doctors of mathematics. You've got people who are writing complex algorithms, and they want to make it perfect because their brain is the size of a planet. And I had to instill a different mindset in them to say, okay, you know, it's taking 3 weeks,
yeah,
right, to do this job, and you're only halfway through,
yeah,
and it's a 4-week project.
Yeah.
Okay. And you're trying to get them to say, look, you know, there's a time when good enough is actually good enough.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be perfect. It meets the brief, you move on. And I've always said to them, you know, to get that extra 10% out of something will take you 90% of the time.
Exactly. And it's the old 80-20 rule as well. 20% of what you do gets you 80% of your results. So if you focus on getting that 20% of your task done first,
exactly,
or that part of the project done first, you're 80% there. It might actually free up a little bit more time then for you to go and work a little bit with more detail on some of the aspects that you want to really try and perfect. But you shouldn't get hung up on it. It's always about, what have I actually achieved today? How much have I moved the needle forward today, rather than is it perfect? And that's the question that we've got to try and stop asking.
Correct. I mean, progress to me is it's a value of taking the action and getting some kind of result,
yeah,
which might not be what we originally set out to do, but it's moved you forward, right? It's not idealistic. That's why you've got to learn under these incremental steps.
Yeah, agreed. And we'll talk a bit more about the psychology of perfectionism later in this episode, I think. So let's say we're winning the argument and we're actually convincing people who want to actually try and perfect everything that they're doing every step of the way and try to win the argument about them actually looking at progress has been the end goal of everything that they do. Let's say we've won that. What can we do to help them just get over that last hurdle then to actually change their mindset?
I think there's a few things. I mean, first of all, and it depends how you feel, we're all different, but the first point for me would be, say, like, what's the root cause? What's making you think I've got to do this perfect? I mean, it could be simple things like your upbringing, how it shaped you, by your parents, your friends and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I think by doing that, you've got to be more introspective. And so let me look at myself. Forget what the people maybe think of me.
Yeah.
If I'm not perfect, I'm not a failure.
Yeah.
Right. What's going to drive that behaviour? And how can I change my mindset? Say, okay, it ain't perfect, but you know that, for me, that's good enough.
Yeah.
And I'll improve on that.
Yeah, I mean, I use a journal. The last podcast was on the art of journaling, and I use a journaling to get everything that I want to do or achieve in a particular week. I get that out of my head, because one of the other things I find is if you have a cluttered head, you think you've got a million and one things to do, which leads to stress, which leads to then you feeling you haven't got enough time to work on something. But if you actually get it out on paper, you find out you haven't got a million and one things, you've got 100 things that have just been going around and around your head on an endless loop. So just get that clarity of what it is you want to achieve out of any given project or any given day, and then focus on the ones that are going to give you the most progress. You then, at the end of the day, log how much progress you've actually made, and that starts to give you a momentum then. Cool. And it starts to re-educate your brain away from, you know, is this word perfect right now, or can I just get this done so I can move on to the next bit, and then when I've got time at the end, I can always come back and focus a little bit more effort onto that.
And I think as well, you need to embrace imperfection and in a way then embrace some failures and learn from those failures. Because when you might achieve something, it might not be perfect to somebody else, but
yeah.
It might be your perfection at that moment in time. I mean, to say you're perfect,
no,
but you've actually achieved something, you can then move on to something else. There's a book, and I'm sure there's many other papers as well on this, and it's called Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway. And if you can do that, and we keep talking about mindset and getting into this continuous improvement, it stops you becoming anxious about not doing it perfect every time.
Yeah.
I'm sure people have read the book, but it is very good, and it helps you change your views on how you're going to make progress.
Yeah, and that's important, because I think the worst thing is to look back and think, if only I'd done that activity then, I would be so much further ahead now, and then the regret sets in, and then the doubt sets in, and then you start beating yourself up because you feel like you've failed. But it's only because you've spent too long looking at one particular aspect of something, and it coloured everything else.
And I think that constant chase, you then start feeling inadequate. And that's, again, we come back to that, this is going to stop you making the progress, because you can never move beyond that barrier. You're putting obstacles in your own way.
Yeah.
To try and achieve something that probably is not achievable.
No.
You know, you've got to think about, we'll come on to this as well, Darren, think about the goals you were trying to achieve. You know, not can I make this the best it's ever been, but can I make it so I can go to the next step?
Yes, and that's and when you do that, make sure that you make a note that you have done that step, and then give yourself a reward, even if that reward is just a pat on the back.
Yeah, and celebrate the small wins.
Yeah.
Celebrate them.
Yeah, everything. And this is why I use my journal the way I do, because it captures. I can see how much progress I've made week by week by week by week, all the way back for years, because I fall into that trap, because I sit there and I think, oh, I've got so much that I need to get done, forgetting how much I have done to get to this point where, because it's that old adage, isn't it? You have a new level then. So you do everything you set out to do, and then you get to it, and then you think, I can rest now. No, because what you've done is you've created new opportunities to go and explore and new levels that you've got to achieve. But if you don't look at what you've already done, you're not going to feel that you can do it.
You're not. And also, you think about it as well, by looking at those things you've achieved, and even if you come to a point where I can't go any further with this, I'm stuck, think of other ways of doing it, because I think that has more creativity. Because I think if you're going to just focus on perfectionism, right, you're not going to be able to be creative anymore. I'd also like to add, I forgot to mention this earlier, the famous quote by Albert Einstein. It's always about fear and stagnation. And he basically said, a person who never made a mistake never tried anything new. And that relates to the perfectionist over progress.
Yeah, I agree. And the whole point of what we're trying to get across here is there's power in incremental steps. So taking those small, consistent steps towards goals, it basically gives you confidence, because if you log in what you're doing and you can see you are moving on step by step, it just means you get more motivation, more self-motivation then to move on to the next thing, because you've got that momentum.
Absolutely. If I can use another example, true life one, 2-3 years ago now, I did a challenge to walk 1,000 miles in a year. You look at it first and you say, 1,000 miles, that's like going from Land's End to John O'Groats for a few places, yeah. But when I broke it down, I think it was about 2.7 miles per day, which I could walk that in an hour. So that's a lunchtime. That's an evening walk before dinner. And when you start breaking it down, and then every week I used to log these miles,
yeah,
and I could see my progress. And that just helped me focus on how I'm going to achieve that goal.
Yeah, it's the how do you eat an elephant approach.
One chunk at a time, isn't it?
It is, yeah. So it's just so important that it's so hard for people, I know, because it's hard to embrace sometimes that life and what you're doing can be messy, it can be imperfect, and it's about swapping your focus on what it is you want to achieve and looking at the journey and enjoying the journey in the meantime.
That's a good point. The journey is a good one, Darren. And I think coupled with that as well is having patience. Well, not expecting instant success, right? You're going to try something, you may fail, or it may not be the exact what you wanted, but you've achieved a goal. And then you're going to have patience, and you go on to the next goal, and eventually you'll build that up.
And yeah, and going back to what you said about patience, it's the patience is, you have to be patient with yourself as well. And that's really difficult sometimes for people to accept, that we can be more patient with others than we are with ourselves. So we're always beating and berating ourselves for no apparent reason other than we're not being perfect.
Correct. I mean, this is not my true life example, but there is one out there. If I use a story that I've heard, and it's a true story, but I'll change the names, and I'll... The word Darren was an aspiring writer, and he had struggled with being perfect throughout his creative journey. And every time he sat down to write something, and it relates to when you created the journal as well, became paralysed by fear, and he just was so worried he wasn't going to produce this flawless masterpiece. One day, though, he did stumble upon a quote by an author called Neil Gaiman?
Gaiman, yeah.
Gaiman, you may well know, because he's into all graphic novels and comics. And what Gaiman said was, "Perfection is like chasing the horizon. You have to keep moving," which takes us back to the progress. By those simple words, Darren, right, instead of striving for this perfect result, focused more on progress. He embraced the idea that every piece he wrote, even it had imperfections, allowed him to go on to the next chapter and could go forward in his journey.
And do you know what? That is so true. Because we've just been talking all this time about, you know, choosing progress over perfection. But I had a series of graphic novels, fantasy graphic novels, that I want to bring to market. And I've had these ideas in my head for a very long time. But I've always felt, is my art good enough? Is the writing right? Is that character believable in this circumstance? And I focus so much on trying to make the art perfect, I forgot that really what I want to do is tell a story, and telling the story is what's important, not the art being perfect along the way. And once I made that decision, which was part of the journal exercise I was doing back end of last year, I've made more progress on all fronts on that in the last 6 months than I had in the last 10 years. So just that subtle mindset shift, it's just so hard. And I do feel for people that have got it ingrained that that things have to be perfect, because it's even harder to make that mind shift. I'm not by any stretch of the imagination a perfectionist, and yet on that one front it held me up for 10 years. I've lost 10 years of potential sales because I wanted the art to be perfect.
But we've already said this, I don't think perfection is attainable, and we've talked to them about the business side of it as well.
Yeah.
But you think about being a parent.
Yeah.
Is there a perfect parent out there? No, right? But you get better when you have your child, better every day of becoming a parent, a father and mother. Education's another one as well.
Yes.
Yeah, we'd all like to get 5 A stars, right? I didn't get that, right? But I still managed to get myself to university. I still managed to get what was a good career, right? People had got better grades than me. They're not doing any better than me, but they put so much effort into it and lost out maybe a university experience.
Yeah.
Because the only thing they were doing was focusing on getting my 5 A's.
Yeah.
Okay. And I think you've got to be careful that there's, I don't know if this is appropriate now, but there's a Japanese saying that's been around for centuries and centuries, which I actually love, and I do actually encourage you to read into this, because it's great to help you to understand why being imperfect is not a problem.
Yeah.
It's something called wabi-sabi, and it's their approach and philosophy of life in itself, and it basically means seeing the beauty of imperfection but then embracing it. And if you think of how good they are at making things, doing things, cars, electronics, whatever it may be, they have that mindset and they progress.
They do.
Look how their economies come on since the Second World War.
Yeah.
They've got a lot of input and financial support, but they've had a different mindset completely.
Yeah, they have. They implemented something called Kaizen.
Heard of it, yeah.
There isn't an exact approximation in English, but it's something like along the lines of improve incrementally every day. So constant and never-ending improvement. So they started off, when they were trying to revive their economy and get back, yes, they had that input from the West with that initial capitalization to rebuild their economy and their infrastructure. But their approach was, we need to get product to market. It doesn't need to be perfect today. We just need to get product to market. We then take that money, and then when we come out with model 2 of this product, it's slightly better. And that's how they progress until Sony became a world beater, Panasonic became a world beater. And it's just all there in terms of Samsung, a Korean, I know, but they have that same kind of philosophy. And it's just amazing how you see that they didn't have, we've got to be perfect by the end end of the year, they didn't have a year's business plan. They didn't even have a five-year business plan. They had a 20 to 50-year vision of where they wanted to be at the end of that time. It's just astonishing, really. So I guess what we need to do is we need to take that Japanese cultural approach to the regeneration of their economy to how we as individuals can start to change our approach to how we tackle projects or goals that we want to attain.
Yeah, I mean, there's many ways, isn't there, as well? I mean, one of the things I always found, and I encourage my teams to do it in the business world, was, you know, to seek regular feedback. I mean, a perfectionist would tend to not show you anything until they were convinced that's what I want to show.
Yeah.
That's not going to get anywhere, because they might be on the wrong path, all right? Might not be meeting the goals that have been set. So I do encourage people to say, get feedback, you know. Say, is this okay, what I've done so far? Speak to your mentor, speak to your colleagues. Take that, put that into your process for making progress.
Yeah, I mean, one of the stories I always keep coming back to is Thomas Edison. So the famous story is that he had a biographer in his studio one day, and he's still experimenting with creating a light bulb. And this is experiment 10,001, say. And he literally blew the studio up, singed not only his own eyebrows off, but also the biographer. And the biographer attacked him, and just not physically, but it just basically, you're never going to make this work. Why don't you just quit and do something else instead? It's you failed. And Edison's reply was, I haven't failed. I've just invented a brand new way to create an explosive, which the army might be interested in later on. In the meantime, I've learned the 10,001 way not to create a light bulb. And that's the thing, that's the mindset, isn't it? I mean, yeah, you can have the argument about who invented the light bulb first, but in terms of his own approach, that willingness to just failure after failure, he didn't see it as failure, he saw it as a lesson.
Yeah, learning capability.
Yeah,
absolutely. I think another one as well is you've got to have self-compassion.
Yeah.
We're normally very self-critical of ourselves. That's what human nature's like. But if you've got a best friend who's made a mistake, you don't beat them up over it.
No.
You encourage them, you support them. Well, do that to yourself as well.
It's hard, isn't it? I think that's the one thing that human beings are not good at, is giving themselves a pat on the back. Now, earlier on, you mentioned Einstein. Another thing Einstein said was, imagination is more important than knowledge. And he basically, what he meant by that was, he imagined his experiments first. He went through them countless times in his head until he came up with an approximation of what that experiment would be. But the important thing there was, he imagined it with such intensity that he had a clear vision of what he wanted to then do. And the brain, for example, cannot differentiate between a really strongly, intensely held imaginative thought. I'll say that again. The brain cannot distinguish between a really intense imagination and a thought based around that imagination and what's happened in reality. So that leads to us into, you know, visualizing that success.
And understanding what does success look like, and making sure you've got some achievable goals along the way that gives you those, you know, little steps, those little bits of progress we keep talking about. One of the ways that I've used through all my working career, even when I was working on control systems, IT, when I went into management, and it's been around forever, and people go, oh God, here we go again. But it's called SMART.
I can hear their eyes rolling now.
But it works if you follow it. If you just don't look at it as an acronym and think, oh, off we go again, and you actually put into practice what that means.
Yes.
Which is having specific, measurable, achievable, realistic and timely goals, and then measure those as you go along, you will get success and you will make progress.
Yeah, it comes back to that old saying, knowing what to do is not the same as doing what you know. So everyone that's rolling their eyes at the idea of, oh no, we have this in every goal setting workshop we do, SMART is important if you implement it correctly. And within that, don't forget to actually reward yourself for achieving those steps along the way.
No, don't forget, although we call them SMART, just that's because that's just a nice acronym.
Yeah.
What they mean behind it works in everyday life, not just in the business life. You know, it's about you as a person developing, right, and growing. So think about what you want to do, whether you want to be a better runner than you've been, whether you want to actually be a better singer, a guitar player, whatever it may be. Think about how am I going to achieve that goal? And am I going to do this in 6 months or a year? So be realistic about that, but set yourself a time limit so you don't get bogged down with things.
Yeah, so then you can move on to the next step because you know you've got to because that milestone's there. And that's another reason why it's always best, do your best shot first.
Correct. Going back to that marathon runner, I'm sure, well, I don't know, but I doubt he'd ever gone, all right, I'm going to do some smart goals. But what was he being realistic? He wasn't running a marathon the first time he went out to
him. No.
So he was realistic about it. And he eventually achieved it, so it was an achievable goal, and he did it in a timely manner.
Yeah.
So forget the acronym, just use those things to actually look at how you're going to make progress.
Agreed. Okay, so let's start to wrap this up then and look at how we can help those perfectionists that we've not quite convinced that it's better to focus on progress rather than being perfect.
Yeah, I'm sure there are people out there who want to be perfect, and that's great. So you're always trying to achieve your best, but understand sometimes good enough is just good enough. And don't be thinking, well, it's not perfect, it's worthless. Don't think like that. Think, well, what I've produced is good for me right now. I will improve on that.
Yeah. I mean, success, it's not defined by perfection. Success really needs to be, you need to redefine it in your mind about it's your willingness to learn and grow and persevere. And embracing those imperfections while celebrating progress, it just creates a better trust in your own ability to start to achieve what it is that you have to do or that you've chosen to do. Change rephrase the reality. If you've chosen to work in a certain field and you've got a project within that field, that was your choice. So change, it's not you've got to do it, it's I'm working on this today because this is going to help me achieve what I set out to do.
And don't be thinking, oh, it's not perfect, I'm going to give up. Rather than think, okay, I'm proud I've finished something. It might be exactly how I envisioned it at the time, but I've produced something.
Yeah.
So now I can go on to the next stage.
It's your building block.
Exactly.
So is there anything else you'd like to add to the discussion?
I think I've said this before, and to me, and it, just not just in business, but in life itself, to me, personal growth is all about progress, right? You don't want to be stagnated. And I think I've already said this, but I want to re-say it again. You cannot be perfect every day, but you can achieve progress on a daily basis. And that, for me, is key.
Yeah, and then reward yourself for it.
Correct, yeah.
I think that's what I keep coming back to mostly, is the fact that you have to reward yourself for making that progress.
And if you think to yourself, okay, I may have not succeeded this time, but I've learnt X.
I know not to do it that way next time.
Edison.
And just continue and change your approach. I mean, Tony Robbins, you know, the life coach, one of his favourite sayings is, take massive action and be absolutely sure of what your goal is, but don't be hung up on how you achieve that goal. Learn to change your approach. So if that doesn't work, try something else. The story he gives is, how long would you allow your child to learn how to walk before you cut him off and said, no, that's it, you've had long enough now, you're not walking, so you're not going to... You just don't,
you
do
just
you?
That comes back to the encouragement thing.
It does.
And I also think as individuals, being resilient, because we are quite a resilient bunch.
We just need to remember to be kind to ourselves.
Correct.
And I know for perfectionists in particular, that's really hard to do. But this is why we're saying, when you do make progress, capture it, reward yourself for it, move on to the next step. And gradually you will start to get the momentum of, I'm moving forward. Your brain will go, oh, I enjoyed doing that. I've done another step. I'm there. I'm closer to what I want to do. And your brain then will start to drive that unconsciously, so that you are just happy to make progress. It'll take time. It won't be perfect from day one, to make a pun. Just literally make that progress, reward yourself for it, move on. But make sure you capture your progress in a journal, because then you can flip back and you can see just how far you have come on any given goal or project or whatever you're working on in a particular period of time. I guess what we're saying then is, if you want to be perfect in something, make making progress your perfection. Make that idea of if you're moving forward, if you're learning new things, if you're celebrating your milestones along the way or your steps along the way, make that your perfection.
And I think you'll find, personally, the journey in front of you will open up, because you're going to be pretty narrow-minded and focused on just getting something perfect and not looking at what's outside that box.
I agree. So that brings to an end this little discussion that we've had on progress over perfection. We hope you've enjoyed it.
I have, Darren. People have taken some things on board. We're not perfect.
No.
We're not the experts. We've just tried to give you some examples and views and ideas of what we've picked up over our life.
And experiences we've had in ours as well. So I'll be back next week with another one. We've got another couple of episodes that I'm going to be recording with Steve going forward, which are going to be one on the tribalism of football. And one on our favourite conspiracy theories.
We will have a difference of opinion, no doubt.
But also the fact that, you know, the psychology of why conspiracy theories have such a hold on the human psyche. So we've got those coming up, and others as well. And if you want to be a guest yourself on an episode of ThinkWorks, please let me know. If you've got a subject that you'd like us to tackle, let me know that as well. We've got about 55 ideas for future episodes, but if it's a great idea you've got, I'll squeeze it in, trust me. Thanks everyone, and we'll see you soon.
Okay, take care everybody.
Like to find out more, or join in with the conversation, our forum has a corresponding post for you to comment in. Simply go to darreninform.com/thinkworksforum and join in the fun. Or you can join the Facebook page by searching for at Darren Inform for news, tips and other helpful strategies. The show was hosted by Darren Smithson, and the music is by Alexander Nakarada. You have been listening to ThinkWorks, the podcast for thinkers.